And sometimes in your own neighborhood, things are bad. It's easy to find bad news. Many of us are also finding difficult times in our own lives. You may be finding things in your life that are hard. Let me ask a few rhetorical questions to get thinking about this. Do you ever want to cry out to the Lord because of difficulties in your life? Okay, is there anyone who hasn't? But sometimes you just want to scream. Are there times when you have complaints and just want someone to listen? Are you being overwhelmed by events and people surrounding you? Your family, your friends, others that seem to abandon you at times? Do you feel alone and no one cares to listen to you? I don't even care. The phrase, how you doing? We use that almost automatically. When's the last time somebody actually told you how they are doing? You know? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm having a miserable day. You know, you always say, okay, okay. No, I'm in a mess. But no one's listening. Would you want to have someone who's concerned about your lot in life that's really concerned? When you're feeling down and persecuted, would you like to find deliverance? Rescue me. Help me. Save me. Does it feel like you're in a tough place and you can't escape? Would you like someone to look after you? How can we get answers to these things? Well, a while back I taught from Psalm 121. The exact date was a couple years ago, and it gives a little bit of a hint as to the answer of some of these questions. Let's consider this from Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We're told our help comes from the Lord. The Bible gives us very practical examples to follow and wisdom for our hearts. Now, there's a grouping of five psalms from 140 through 144 that cover prayer from a needful perspective of the psalmist. That's a real nice way to say, my life's a mess and I need help. You know, needful. It's an understatement. So in my study of Psalms, those stick together. Here's the summary of those. Prayer for protection against the wicked. An evening prayer for sanctification and protection. Prayer for help in trouble. Prayer for deliverance and guidance. Prayer for rescue and prosperity. So if you're really stuck, read through those Psalms in your study. Prayer for protection, for help, for deliverance and rescue is one of the many themes in the Psalms. And we find examples of spoken and silent praying throughout Scripture. And there are times and places for each. There are many spoken and public prayers in the Bible. You can find them all over the place. But remember also that Hannah prayed silently, speaking in her heart. Her lips were moving, but she wasn't even vocalizing it. And there are even times when we can't even find the words to say, and the Spirit has to intercede with groanings too deep for words. When it's so hard, you can't even put into words how you feel. When we speak and sing, we learn that we can be fully honest with the Lord. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 142, a prayer for help in trouble. Now please join me as we read this psalm together. Now some of you are Midwestern, so you don't like speaking in public, so you can move your lips, but read with me together as we sing Psalm 142. Maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. Now, I can't hear you. Remember that I said, if you can't hear me? Well, I can't hear you. I cry out with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. The way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give attention to my cry, for I have been brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. Thou wilt deal bountifully with me. May the Lord bless the reading and listening to his word and our study today. Here's a brief outline of Psalm 142. I cry for help. Why I cry for help, and my cry is heard, I'm rescued. Easy to follow. Let's begin our study. In the introduction or the title of the psalm, it says it's a maskil of David when he was in the cave of prayer. Maskil. It's a Hebrew word that is difficult, but not so difficult we don't know exactly what it means. It basically is a teaching conveying instructive skill for living in wisdom. Okay? In other words, we can learn from this. Of David. Roughly 73 psalms are attributed to King David. This one is when he was in the cave. Now, this is likely from 1 Samuel 22, when David continued to run from Saul when he fled from Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now, it's also possible a couple chapters later, because there's another cave event. And you remember, that's when David was in the cave and Saul came in and the coat wasn't going to be cut, and that's, sorry, but this one is the most likely one because of, I think, the context, but it's a cave somewhere. A cave can be a place of hiding, sojourn, or refuge. It's also a place to go when you're afraid. Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. So the idea of a cave is a place to go for refuge. It's also a prayer. A prayer, an intercession, a supplication. And when a prayer is set to music, it's a hymn. Remember, we saw in the teaching in Ephesians recently, when Pastor was teaching in Ephesians, it says, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So if you put the prayer to music, it's a hymn. Now this is one of the many psalms and prayers where the psalmist is uninhibited in crying out aloud to the Lord about his tough circumstances and pleading for relief. I cry for help. I cry out with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. The phrase, I cry out with my voice, is I cry aloud. I am not holding back. I am yelling. I am speaking. I'm talking. Dear Lord, this is miserable. Crying out loudly with a strong voice to the Lord is a very common practice for those in need throughout the Scriptures. We learn in this psalm that it can be very appropriate to plead strongly and verbally our troubles and concerns to him. Do not hold back. Tell him. He's asking us to talk, to speak, to express it to him. Not because he doesn't know and we need to inform him, but somehow, and I don't know exactly the mechanism, but by speaking it out, we learn. We understand. We're saying the thing that he's asking us to say, our burdens. Listen to some of these examples. My voice rises to God and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God and he will hear me. I'm not screaming in the dark. I'm screaming in His presence. Rising, crying aloud. Psalm 3. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and He answered me from His holy mountain. It is not unreligious to pray like this. It is a holy place, and He wants us to be there. It's okay. It's good. To the Lord, the existing one, the proper name for God. This is used throughout this hymn, or this song. I make supplication with my voice. Now, making supplication is to seek favor and mercy or to implore for help. I'm asking for something. I want something. I need something. And I'm speaking it with my voice. This is a petition for mercy. It is a plea for favor and mercy. It is not a claim to what is due or owed. Lord, You owe me is not the way this is being spoken. This is, Lord, I need something. Lord, I'm asking for something. You don't owe me, but I'm asking. That's the idea. Listen to what it says in other places. To You, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. It's not uncommon to ask what you need. The Hebrew poetry through this part of the psalm is using what's called parallelism to highlight the thought. Now, we talked about this years ago when I taught on the book of Psalms. Hebrew language has rhythm and rhyme in thought, not in sound. In most English poems, people are always making the words sound the same. They're making the thoughts the same in the Hebrew poetry. So you'll see repeated thoughts, not repeated sounds. For example, look at this. I cry out with my voice to the Lord, verse 1. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. You see those parallels? I cry out, I make supplication. With my voice to the Lord, to the Lord. So what are they doing? Why does the Hebrew language do this? Because it's looking at the same thing from a different perspective. I'm looking at this thing, and then I look at it from over here, and then I look at it from over there, and I talk about it as I'm going around. It's the same thing. I cry out, I make supplication. I'm speaking from a different perspective on the same thing. So it teaches us by giving us color to those ideas. Next, I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. So I pour out. It's a very interesting word. It's to cast out, to gush out, to pour out. Take a great big bucket and just dump it. That's the way it is here. I pour it out. I'm not giving you these little sips or a little drop. I'm pouring it out. It's gushing out. My complaint is being poured out before Him. It's a meditation and a prayer. Listen to these. A prayer of the afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Psalm 102. Or from Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted. I want your help. I'm asking for your help. That's what he's doing. I declare, I tell, I make known, I show my trouble before him. Trouble, distress, and affliction. And again, does the Lord not know? Is that the idea here? Well, that's not sensible. The Lord already knows. We are pouring it out before him. We're saying it to him. And we learn by doing that. Bring your cares to him because he cares for you is the idea. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. So what's a good time of day to tell the Lord about your troubles? Any idea? Well, let's see. The day, the night, well, that pretty much covers most of it, unless you can speak in your sleep, As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Now, continuing the thought about when, in the evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur. So even if you're up at night, even if you're getting up in the morning early, and even if you wake yourself up at noon, complain and murmur, and he will hear. The Lord's not asleep. He doesn't slumber like we do. He's alert. If you wake up, you're having heartache, tell him. I want to complain, Lord. I want to tell you about my sorrows. The parallelism in thought from verse 1 is repeated now in verse 2 to emphasize the ideas. So look at this again. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. So do you see the perspective? I pour out and I declare my complaint, my trouble before him. It's a way of looking at it and getting a more full picture of what we're doing. He's not leaving much to chance. If I got a trouble, if I got complaints, if I got problems, I'm going to bring them. You know, I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to gush it out. I'm going to explain it. I'm not going to leave anything to chance. I'm bringing everything to him. Why do I cry for help? Why? When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, when my spirit felt weak, fainted, and was feeble. The expression here carries the idea of being covered as with a garment, and then to cover with darkness, trouble, and sorrow. I took this from A.T. Barnes, who wrote about 150 years ago. He has a great commentary. It's in our library on the Bible. And I found this, and it captures the idea. So basically, you're covering yourself with this. Darkness, trouble, and sorrow. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. That same word fainted here that we used in Psalm 142. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I'm just beaten down. I can't hardly take it. I'm all worn out, overwhelmed. I'm fainting. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. Disturbed, faint, worn out, weak, hurting, in trouble. It's a pretty dark place, isn't it? You might have noticed that I've found multiple parallel thoughts in Psalm 142 and Psalm 77. Well, Psalm 77 is a prayer of an older person for deliverance. And it would make a nice passage to read and study if you're interested in learning more. Some of us that are seniors now can identify with this. It talks about the older person, the gray hair, all kinds of stuff. You knew my path in the way where I walk. So in spite of the plans of others to do us harm, the Lord is always ready if we just call on him. Hey, Lord, do you know where I am? Do you know where I'm going? Do you know where I've been? He knows the path. He knows the way. He knows where I'm walking. He's aware. They have hidden a trap for me. They have concealed a snare. They're trying to catch me. Trying to trip me up. The proud have hidden a trap for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. Now, I got enough trouble on my own. Why do we need other people setting traps and snares to make it worse? That's the idea here. Could it get any worse? Look to the right and see. For there is no one who regards me. There is no one escape, no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. The psalmist is now reviewing his situation, looking at where I've come. You know, I need to cry out. This is why I'm in a bad place. I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. Where can I get some help is the idea. I need some help. Well, there's no earthly help available, and he reviews it in his mind. Look to the right and see. Look to the right. The right in the Bible is a place of protection and refuge. Look for something to protect me. and behold. I behold this. I see it. He stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. So the Lord uses this as a picture of somebody who is there to give help at the right hand of the needy. When someone is in need, the Lord is there to save them. There is no one who regards me. There's no one on earth that has regard for me is the idea. You have removed lover and friend far from me. My acquaintances are in darkness. Even my closest friends are gone. My friends, my lover, the people that I've trusted, they've abandoned me. There's no escape for me. There's no refuge. The eyes of the wicked will fail. There will be no escape for them, and their hope is to breathe their last. Sometimes we just feel like giving up. There is no hope. There is no escape. I might as well just die. No one cares for my soul. My soul is my life. It's all of who I am. No one cares anything about me, how I feel, how I'm hurting, how I need help. I will restore you to health. I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying, it is Zion, no one cares for her. The world doesn't care, but the Lord does. So here he's saying, I can't find any help on earth. No friends, no acquaintances, no former friends, no just random people. Nobody's there to help me. There is no earthly help for me. Although we may feel alone and abandoned at times, this needs to be corrected by reminding our soul that the Lord sees everything. He's never caught off guard or surprised by our troubles. Consider this reminder from Hebrews 13, which is quoting part of Psalm 118. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? That's pretty serious. Never, ever, ever, he says, I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. I will never desert you. I will never leave you alone. Never! That's a pretty long time. So my cry is heard, and now he changes to being rescued. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. In verse 1, he's making his cry out. This is a Hebrew word that's imperfect, which is a continuing process. Now in verse 5, he's recalling his past cry and is looking forward to an answer. Here it changes to a perfect, which is a completed action. Now I'm compressing, that's a lot, the Hebrew thing says it's a lot more than this, but basically it's, he's asking for help, he gets help. I cry out, I cry out, I cry out, and you heard. I said, you are my refuge, my only refuge, no one else for help. We looked into verse before this, verse 4. There was no one else help from anywhere else. But the Lord is his refuge. When there's nowhere else to go, go to me, the Lord says. Our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. My portion in the land of the living, my part, my lot, my inheritance. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So give attention to my cry, for I have been brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Give ear, attend to, heed. Please listen. Give attention. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. For I have been brought very low. The idea here is greatly reduced, made very poor. The Hebrew word here for being brought low is, I'm basically been made desolate and poor. It's a condition expressing danger, poverty, and want. A lot of times this phrase is used when people are destitute and without any hope. Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let your compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Again, we're beaten down, we're struggling, we're empty. And the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Sometimes he lets it happen. I don't know why. I can't explain it. The Lord knows. Remember the words of Joseph when his brothers were there and he reminded them, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. The problem is in between those was many years. It takes many years sometimes to figure out what God was trying to do with the hurt and the ache in your life. Sometimes you don't get the answer in this life. Joseph said, you meant it for evil, he meant it for good. He permitted the evil to be done to Joseph to redeem and rescue Joseph, his family, the nation, and ultimately the world. He meant it for good. Deliver me from my persecutors, rescue me, save me. Persecution is a part of a godly life. The Lord can rescue us through them. He doesn't always take us around persecution. He takes us through it. And he's with us while we go. This is a little bit long, but listen to these words from Paul. Persecutions, sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Take courage. I'm not going to give any more trouble in your life. Take courage. All the heartaches are going to be gone in this life. No. The Lord says, I've got a different kind of victory. I'm going to bring you through it. He's already told us he's going to not abandon us and forsake us. So while we're going through it, we're not alone. But it feels like it, doesn't it, at times? They are too strong for me, too strong both in number and might. Remember, Saul's got a whole army chasing after David with all the things they got, the weapons, and David's got a bunch of destitute people with him trying to help. Listen to how it's described here in 1 Samuel. So David had departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And everyone there who was with him was in distress. And everyone there was in debt. And everyone there was discontented. And they gathered there together with him. Now, what a motley crew. You know, those are the help. That's the help he's getting. They're stronger than we are, Lord. They're too strong for me. Psalm 18 answers this for us. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Okay? They're too strong. Guess who's stronger? Anybody? Is it hard to figure that out? Sometimes our soul needs to hear that. Okay? They may be strong, but he's stronger. You know the phrase, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. This is a theme throughout Scripture. The Lord is stronger. And He is able. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to Your name. The righteous will surround me, for Thou wilt deal bountifully with me. Bring my soul out of prison. Poetically, he's asking for the Lord to bring him out of his present situation, which feels like he's in a prison. He's locked up. He's got no freedom. No liberties. He's expressing feelings of being shut up, encompassed by enemies with no way to escape. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. Get me out of this prison. I feel locked up. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoner free. He's there. He rescues. So that I may give thanks to your name. Why do I want freedom, Lord? Here we see the noble reason for the request. It is not for his own sake. So I can be free to do such and such and this and that and all that. Rather, this believer is wanting to have an occasion to praise the Lord. Consider from Psalm 138. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. The righteous will surround me. It is an honor. Now, this is the next line in this one. The righteous will surround me. So he's saying, I want to praise you, and I want to do it with other believers. I want to praise you with other believers. The righteous, the believers will surround me. Others like-minded like me. We will come to praise you together. You know, it's an honor to be associated with good people, to be together with those that love the Lord. It is you who bless the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Okay, everybody, look around. Look around. What's the Lord done for you today? He surrounded you with all these people that love the Lord. You're not alone. That's a blessing. But Thou wilt deal bountifully with me. To deal bountifully, to look after, to show your goodness, to reward you. It carries the idea of to give and show and do good or evil to anyone, so the context tells us this is a good intention. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. So, let's review the questions we asked at the beginning of our study. Anybody remember back then? Do you ever just want to cry out to the Lord because of difficulties in your life? Ever? Then cry aloud with your voice to the Lord. I cry out with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. Are there times when you have complaints and just want someone to listen? The Lord will always listen. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. Are you being overwhelmed by events and people surrounding you? When you're overwhelmed, remember, He knows your path. He knows where you're at. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Do you feel alone and no one cares to listen to you? The Lord will always be with you. Look to the right and see. There is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. On earth, there is no help, but the Lord is there. Would you want to have someone who's concerned about your lot in life? Remember, the Lord is your refuge. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. When you're feeling down and persecuted, would you like to find deliverance? The Lord can deliver you from your persecutors. Give attention to my cry, for I have been brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Does it feel like you're in a tough place and can't escape? Would you like someone to look after you? The Lord can bring you out of your virtual prison so you can give Him thanks. Seek the fellowship of believers. Just look around and see what the Lord has done. Bring my soul out of prison so I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me. May the Lord bless our study of His word today. Amen.